the house of the Lord. Are we blessed this morning?
Amen.
Amen. The saints of God looking good today. Give yourselves a hand clap. Grace and peace be unto you. Thank God for this church. Pastor Lake George and the members here have been so gracious and kind and giving to me and Kingdom Convoy. I just want to say thank you. We do not take your friendship and our covenant together lightly. Amen. How many of you brought your sword today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. When you get it, say amen. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we welcome this morning the presence of your Holy Spirit. Teach us today, Holy Spirit. Lead and guide us into all truth. Oh God, your word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. We humble ourselves this morning. We ask for your proceeding word. In the mighty name of Jesus, change our perception of how the kingdom operates. Let us have a transparent, crystal clear understanding of your purpose and your plan in the messages or the verse we just read. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We just read here, in the beginning, how God laid out his plan and his purpose that man would have dominion. What I want you to see today is something very special. And if we get what the Holy Spirit is getting ready to reveal to us, things will begin to change. Amen. First thing I want you to see is that the only species who God ordained to have dominion in this place called Earth is man. Said another way, angels do not have dominion here. We do. Demons do not have dominion here. We do. God is creator. He is the Most High. When he created this place called Earth, he made it for one purpose, for you and I to have dominion. Amen. And even though the Bible lists the different spiritual rankings of the unseen realm and the angelic world of principalities, thrones, dominions, powers, the only species who have the right to exercise dominion here is man. By the time we get done today, you will see it expressly clear, and we will be thrust into a new revelation of what God, what he intended in the beginning, and how we would better understand it for today. Amen. So he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So God made man. We know the story. And when we get to Genesis chapter 2, something special begins to happen. After he made Adam, guess what he did? He made sure that before he made man, he had already made the earth. He made sure that before he made man, he had already planted a garden. Everything was prepared for man. There's one thing he didn't do before he made man, and that was the creation of the animals. Amen? Right after he said, it's not good for man to be alone, I will make him a helpmeet, before he put Adam in a deep sleep to make the woman, then he made the animals. Let's look at it in Genesis chapter 3. Or chapter 2. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good for man that he should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
See? In Genesis chapter 1, the animals was made before the man as far as on day 6. But the chronological order is revealed when we read chapter 2. Amen. Adam was made, then the animals, then Eve. You guys see this?
Amen.
He said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Then out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would what? Call them. So what was God doing here? He had already created thing on everything on the earth and said, I made everything for you to have dominion. This is your place. Amen. This is your sphere of authority. But he held back making the animals so that Adam could see the creator at work.
Amen.
He didn't see him make the oceans. He didn't see him make the sky. He did not see him make the plants and the trees. He did not see him form the mountains. He did not see when God created. But because he would have dominion and he would not have to guess about who the creator is and his power, he said, I held a little bit back so that you would know who I am. Then Adam personally saw God do what he do. He personally saw God go to the earth and form every creature, every insect, everything that creeps. He personally saw this. And Adam stood there saying, yes, this is creator. There is no doubt Elohim is the Most High. There is no doubt Elohim is the creator. He said, good, I wanted you to see who I am. But so that you would know, Adam, and all of your descendants, that I have delegated the authority over this realm to you, I first let you see me create, but I am giving you something special so that you could know that you have authority. He said, I'm going to let you name what I just made. Oh, hallelujah. Why did he allow Adam to name? Because Adam was looking at the creator. He was in awe with the one who made all things. But God says, now I want you to exercise dominion. I want you to know that this is, I have delegated headship. Somebody say headship. So that you would know that you're the head. I'm the creator. I'm the Most High, but I created this for you to know that you're the head, you get to name it. Mm-mm. Every animal that Adam saw God make, he said, you get, exercise your authority now, Adam, you name it. And Adam looked at the creature that was formed with the big mane. He said, that's a lion. Hallelujah. That's an eagle. Why did he let him name? So that he would know you have dominion. So that he would know you have authority. Why? Because whatever we have the power to name, it shows our dominion. It shows that we are the head of it. I want you to see something. Y'all rocking with me? Say, we with you, Pastor. 1 second. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. We just read that the serpent was made by God. Did everybody see what I just read? Say it with me. The serpent was made by God. Did you know that Adam was present when God made the devil? I know y'all, your halos was bent on that one, but I just read, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. Adam, just like Adam was there when he made the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, he was there when he made the serpent. And I want you to understand something. Adam was the one who named it serpent. My big Bible says in the last days, knowledge shall increase. We living in the days where a lot of stuff that's been hidden is being revealed. Just track with me. Adam was there, and when God made it, he said, I'm calling that serpent. And as he named it, he had dominion over it. When he named it, he was the head of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, we just getting started in the church. I want you to see something else. Verse 20 of the same chapter. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, if you go to Genesis 2, verse 23, the first time when God first presented the woman to the man, his wife to him, verse 23 says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called what? God didn't name her. Adam did. Uh-oh. And in naming, it showed he was the head. Oh, the shouting crown right there. Woo! Help me, Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians, I got to show y'all. Y'all must be from Missouri. That's the show me state. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you get it, let me know. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Why is Christ our head? Because he named us. Hallelujah. And the head of every woman is the man. Why? Because he named you. And the head of Christ is God. Why? Because God named him. Amen. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So there is a delegated process. There's a delegated authority that we need to understand in the church. And the reason why we lack the authority that we're supposed to walk in is because we don't understand authority. Amen.
Amen.
So God created in front of him so that he would know, I'm creator. Then he said, but I've given dominion to you, so I'm going to let you do the naming. Glory be to God. Now, as I stated, in order to operate in dominion here, I don't care if you're the archangel Angel Michael, I don't care if you're Satan, I don't care if you a seraphim or cherubim, I don't care if you are a demon, you can only access this plane through a man. Even after we fail, can we talk about this? Because I really want the people of God to get this. Even after we fail, the devil, who's the god of this world, who the Bible calls the prince of the power of the air, there hasn't been one time where he, as the enemy, stepped on his plane and operated. Always he must use a man. You say, well, the Bible says he's the god of this world. Well, let's look at that. World is the Greek word cosmos. Amen? And that's where we get cosmetics. The word cosmos, it means the orderly arrangement of things. So when you put on cosmetics, sisters, what are you doing? You're taking the different colors, the different cosmetics, and you are orderly arranging it to beautify or make you look a certain way. What is a cosmetologist? That person who beautifies or orderly arranges your hair, your makeup. Amen. And so he's the god of the cosmos. His authority is from the invisible realm to orderly arrange until Jesus, until God makes all of his enemies his footstool. But guess what? Even in that authority, he has to use man. Not one time. Anybody here seen Satan? Amen. Anybody here physically seen his principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places? Anybody seen him? Amen. So even though he exercises authority as the God and the prince of the power of the air, the God of this world, he can only do it through man. Therefore, if he does not get a man to listen to his will, it won't be performed. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. Let's talk about this. In Genesis 6, when that minority group of angels decided that they wanted to marry and raise their own family, they didn't just appear. Let's look at it. Go with me to the book of Jude. That's the New Testament for you Bible scholars. Look at the book of Jude, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. So what he's showing here is when the invisible realm, when the angel said, we want to be able to procreate like man and have our own families like man, they disobeyed the word that God set in order, the parameters that God set in order in the beginning, because he said, man have dominion here. Amen. So instead of doing that, they disobeyed the universal law and they stepped into our plane. But I want you to understand something. The Bible says right here that the angels, which didn't keep their first estate, but left their own habitation. When you look up that in the Greek, it literally means, yes, they left their habitation of heaven. When they stepped onto the physical plane, they had to disrobe themselves of their celestial body. That's what that means there when it says their own habitation. They had to derobe themselves of their physical body and appear in flesh. But it was illegal. And that's why when they procreated, it produced something that was heinous and diabolical, because they were attempting to contaminate the geno pool of man. But in order to do it, they couldn't do it as angels. They had to derobe themselves of their own habitation, of their own clothing, and come to man that way. But because they weren't supposed to do it, because they broke God's universal law, that it, the only legal access into the earth is supposed to be through a woman's womb. They broke that. That's why you read the judgment as he hath reserved them in everlasting chains of darkness. They took that risk just to contaminate the bloodline of man, because Genesis said, the Bible says in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman would crush the devil's head. So they colluded with the enemy to do what they weren't supposed to do. And right now we just read that they're still there being judged. Amen. So they were pawns of the enemy. But I want you to see something. When you go back to Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Because Satan knows that he is limited, even as the God of this world, to, in order to operate and have dominion on this plane, he must use a person. He must use a human. There has not been, since Genesis 6, anyone from the invisible world to step onto our plane to have dominion. They have to use a person. So the enemy has become an expert in suggestion. When was the last time a demon just stepped into your house and began to slap you around? Do you realize that the enemy hates the church? He hates those who represent Jesus. So if he really has the power that many think he has, why hasn't he appeared and destroyed us all? He's the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. You know why he hasn't? Because he can't. God set the parameters. He said, no, this is their place of dominion. Even in their fallen state, even as you as the God of the world, you still got to use man in order to exercise your will. So he became an expert in suggestion. Have God said? Isn't that how he approached Jesus? Have God said? Isn't that how he approached Eve? Have not God said? See, we give him too much power. We give him too much credit. So he learned the power of words, and he understands the power of words better than the church. Serpent in the Hebrew literally means hissing one. Amen. He hates you. Why haven't he destroyed you? Because he has to use another person. They have to listen to him and obey him. He have not stepped onto this plane to harm you. The only thing he can do is suggest to another human, and they have to obey him. Are you guys picking up what I'm putting down? So he became an expert in the power of words. Have God said? Unfortunately, most of mankind listens to him. Are you there? He did not physically handle Eve. He spoke. He had a conversation with Eve. He understands the power of words better than we do. So serpent means hissing one, and it comes from a root word that means to whisper a magic spell. It means to prognosticate, a worker of divination. Did you know that the highest form of divination is understanding how to curse through words? Amen. See, demons and witches and warlocks, they do not physically come to your house and harm you. They don't just appear before you and harm your family. There is a process they have to use because of the parameters that God put in place. Now, I want you to see something. Words by nature cast a spell. Say that with me. Words by nature cast a spell. Did you know that? Unfortunately for the church, when we hear spell, we automatically think evil. And technically, that's not true. An evil spell is evil. See, words is just like money. There's no such thing as cursed money. Money is money. It depends on what you use the money for that make it blessed or cursed. Words are not cursed. It depends on what you use words for that make it cursed. So words by nature cast a spell. Just speaking is spelling. I'm gonna say that again. Just speaking is spelling. Amen. And for some of us who are religious, I know you can't handle that, but if you look up the meaning of gospel, it literally means God's spell. So when the gospel is being preached, there is an heavenly spell being cast over the atmosphere that causes those who hear it to come into the kingdom. Amen. So spelling is not evil. Are you there? I can prove it to you. If I say, sis, can you write the letters to my name? And you begin to write R-O-M-E-L, what are you doing? You are spelling it. Is that evil? Doing a spelling bee, when the judges give them a word and they spell it, is it evil? Why? Because words by nature cast spell. But if you're using words to harm, for incantation, to draw in demons, now you're using evil spells. Help me, Holy Ghost. I want you to see something. So, spelling is writing the word out or saying the letters of the word. Is that not spelling? Hallelujah. That words have power even when you write them down. Need y'all to get this. Words have power even when you spell it on paper. How do I know this? Because right now, God spelled out his word on paper and it has power. He went as far to say that those who read the book of Revelation would be blessed just from reading what's been spelled out. So he spelled his word on paper, and we are blessed every time we read it. Faith comes by hearing what he wrote on paper. The devil is not an originator, he's an imitator. So guess what he does in the occult? He has his witches and warlocks and wizards. When they get ready to cast a spell, they not only cast evil spells verbally, but they write it out. They'll write out your name and they'll put it on whatever they're conjuring up. Are you there? And so what they did was they said, we're not just going to write it normally, but we're going to write it fancy. And when they write your name fancy in order to hex you, it is called cursive. Somebody gonna get that. They write the person they're trying to curse in cursive because words cast a spell. Amen. By nature, it cast a spell. When God said, let there be light, he cast a spell and light came. Soon as we hear spell, we hear evil, but that's not how it works. And since we don't understand how words work, that's why we have no authority. But the enemy understands how this works. And that's why he's running circles around the church, because we say, oh, he's talking about spelling. Everything that is came from the word of God. God's word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. All things was made by who? The word. And without anything that was made, anything that is made was made. It all came from God spoke. The devil understand the word, the power of words, better than the church. So for millennia, he's walking around because he's not afraid of the power of words. And he just casts spells, evil spells on your family, evil spells on your church. And even though you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you can't get to the next level. Even though you're the body of Christ, even though you have the Holy Ghost, even though you are the temple of God, you still can't get to the next level because you have not broken through an understanding of the power of words. Do you realize everything that is seen and unseen came from God's word? Everything you see at its core is connected to God's word. The number one thing we should understand in this earth as the body of Christ is how words work, because we come from God's word. The Bible says that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and we still don't understand it. I'm trying to help. So the devil understands the power of words. Look at this. He just suggests and he runs the world. His demons just suggest to humans and he get his will. Through the power of suggestion. People think that the devil is in all places at all times like God. People literally think that the devil can read their mind. But hear me, he's not a mind reader. He's just a professional chess player. He can predict your next move based on your last 10 moves. He's just a professional psychiatrist. He sit back and he watch man's habits. Man's habits, our patterns, our pathologies. And he's watched us for the last 6,000 years. And he's a professional expert psychiatrist. And he can tell you what you're going to do based on what you have done. Not based on reading your mind. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So all he has is the power of suggestion. He can't make anyone do anything. I want you to see something else to prove my point. The unseen realm have to use us to get his will done on earth. In the book of Revelation, when we get to the 7-year tribulation, and there is a person on the planet called the Antichrist or the first beast, guess what? In order for Satan's will to be done, he has to possess the body of a man called the Antichrist. The Bible says that the dragon gave all of his power and his seat of authority and his influence to the beast. Why did he do that? Because the only way for him to exercise his will, he got to go through a man. Oh, we going to get it by the time we leave here today. He had to use a man. Why haven't he come down here and said, I don't need none of y'all. I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm the prince of the power of the air. Because he can't. When God set it up, he said, they have dominion. And if you want to have dominion on this plane, you're going to have to go through one of them. Even in their fallen state, you got to go through one of them. And the one time we had the unseen realm try to break that law, they bust hell wide open and they still in chains. So everybody else sat back and was like, ah, we can't do that, bro. Somebody say dominion.
Dominion.
Now look at this. Can you get the book of Amos? Chapter 3. I'm still in my introduction. Hold on. You got Amos chapter 3? Amen. Making sure I got the right verse here. Verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Did you know God said that? It says surely. In other words, you can take that to the bank. The Lord God would do nothing until he first revealed it to his servants, the prophets. You know why? Because he won't violate his own word. Even as creator, when he created this plane and gave us dominion over it, he said, look, I'm the one who made you. I'm the one who gave you the dominion. I'm the one who created you in my image and likeness. And I'm not going to violate the very parameters that I put in place. Amen. So I just want you to go through scripture. When God got ready to do something, he came to a man. Not that he can't do something, but he won't violate his own word. And so he said, I made this plane for you. And no matter how dark it gets, no matter how fallen it is, I'm still going to come to you, man. Amen. So let's go through it. Let's look at it. When did God come to a man? When God got ready to deliver Israel, why didn't he just send the plagues on Egypt? Why didn't he just crush Pharaoh in Egypt and part the Red Sea and get them out of there on his own? He took his time, went to a man named Moses. He spoke through a burning bush. He was patient, and while Moses was giving all of his excuses, while Moses was saying, I stutter, I'm not qualified for this, God was patient with him and told him, look, that's okay. I will use your brother Aaron as your prophet. He listened to Moses, and he walked Moses through that long before Moses even made it to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh. The Bible says that Moses hadn't circumcised his house, and God was on the way to the inn where he and his wife and kids were to kill him because he hadn't obeyed the word of the Lord, and his wife circumcised his sons and kept him from being destroyed before he even got there. God was faithful. He worked all this through because he said, I won't do nothing until I first reveal it to my servants. I gave you dominion. I said that the people must use flesh to have dominion here. So he worked with them. And he made sure there was a man representing him standing before Pharaoh. He made sure there was a man standing there and said, this plague, that plague, this plague, that plague, because he won't violate his own word. Let's walk through it. When he got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, why didn't he just do it? Amen. When a nation's or a people's sins have come up before God, remember he told Abraham, I can't bring your children, your seed. I won't be able to bring them into the promised land yet because the sins of the Amorites are not yet full. So it'll be 430 years because God is patient. He's long-suffering. And said, but when our sins come to that threshold, God, by right, in his own holiness can destroy a people. Amen. But before he does it, he comes to one of his representatives. He said, because I gave you dominion. And I won't violate my own word. So when he could have just destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Pastor Lee George, what did he do? He didn't just send fire down from heaven. He came to Abraham. And he started a conversation with Abraham. Amen. Not that because he's not the most high, not because he's not most all powerful, all knowing, all in all places at the same time, but because he said it. He said, I won't do anything unless I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets. So he came to Abraham and said, hey, you know what I'm getting ready to do. And he allowed Abraham to negotiate with him. Abraham negotiated all the way down, was it to 10 people? Lord, if there be 10 that's righteous, don't judge them. God said, okay. I believe if Abraham said, if there just be one, God wouldn't have did it. But Abraham, I think in Abraham's own mind, he said, there got to be 10. He said, I done did all I can do, Doc. This, what was that book Trump wrote about making deals? This is the greatest deal ever been negotiated on the planet right here. He said, just 10? So, because he's thinking, okay, Lot, his wife, his sons, his daughters, and just a couple of his servants. The man had riches and gold like Abraham. He had hundreds of servants like Abraham. So Abraham was like, it's got to be 10. I did my part, bro. I just saved Sodom and Gomorrah from judgment. But there was not even 10. I believe if Abraham had talked on down to one, God wouldn't have did it. But why did God go to him first? Amen. Because he said, I set this in order. Y'all tracking with me? Somebody say Nineveh. When the sins of Nineveh came up before God, why did God go to Jonah first? They had already reached their apex of sin. He could have just judged them, but he didn't. He went through the whole process of going to Jonah, saying, hey, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to preach repentance. Jonah disobeyed God, ran in the opposite direction. God was willing to go through the whole process of sending a great storm, him being thrown over, sending a whale, 3 days in his belly, spitting the brother up, cleaning him up, walking 3 days to Nineveh, and then he preached. Why? God didn't have to do that. But he was the one in the beginning that said, I have given you dominion. I can do it, but I won't do it because I set my word in order here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he waited for Jonah to get his act right and do what he called him to do. Because in the end, the Bible said that God does not take any enjoyment in the destruction of the wicked. So even though our sins come up before him and he has a divine right based on his holiness to destroy us, he said, I won't do anything unless I first tell it to my servants, the prophets. I'm going to come to flesh. I'm going to come to man because I gave you dominion. Amen. Amen. If God is going through that, what you think the devil got to do? Amen. Amen. He's not just showing up here snatching babies out of women's wombs. He, through the power of suggestion, speaking to our leaders, through the power of suggestion, speaking to lawmakers, through the power of suggestion, getting people to align up their bodies and their will with his. Hallelujah. Because if he had that much power, he would just wipe us off. Can't do that. He has to use a man. Somebody say that with me. He have to use men. Mm-hmm. There's something awesome I want you to see. Remember when the archangel Michael came to get the body of Moses? Anybody remember that in scripture? Let's look at it right quick. I think it's back in Jude. It was the next. Yeah, let me get Jude again, people of God. Verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Let me set this up for you. Why did Michael need the body of Moses? He needed the body of Moses in order to meet with Jesus and Elijah at the Mount of Transfiguration. Are you there? So God sent the warrior angel from heaven to the burial place where God buried Moses. Did you guys know that God buried Moses? No one knew where Moses was buried as far as Israel. No one knew but God and the devil. God personally buried Moses because he knew if the people knew where he was buried, they would make a shrine out of it. They would worship it and all of that stuff. He said, well, I'm going to bury Moses. And remember, Moses didn't make it into the promised land. He buried him on the east side of the Jordan. He let him see the Jordan by the Spirit, but he did not enter in. The Bible says God personally buried Moses. And that's something God did his funeral service. That's powerful. So anyway, when it was time for Moses to meet with Jesus and Elijah at the Mount of Transfiguration, Michael was sent to get the body of Moses. But when he got there, because technically the body of Moses was not supposed to come out of hell or Hades, the part where the righteous were, until the Redeemer came to pay the price for our sins. So Satan is at the tomb saying, you can't be here. Amen. There's no propitiation. There's no Messiah. Amen. Price have not been paid for them to come out of there. He's the warrior angel. Why didn't Michael just smack him up? The Bible says here, Michael gave him a pass and was like, hey, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. I want you to see something. Go with me to Revelation chapter 12. Am I helping anybody? Revelation 12, we got the same two in action, but it's a whole different story. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. The same two people that's arguing over the body of Moses and prevailed not, neither was there found any more place in heaven for him. Oh, but there's a difference. When he came to earth for the body, Michael didn't do anything. But when they were in heaven, Michael beat the brakes off of them. I'm going to say that again. When he came to earth for the body, Michael didn't do anything. But when it popped off in heaven, Michael flexed his muscles. Why? Because on earth, he did not have the same authority he had in heaven. He is a celestial being. He is of the spirit realm. So when they threw down in their world, Michael overcame him. But when he came to the plane where man was, he had to step back. Somebody gonna get that. He had to step back because he didn't come as flesh. He wasn't speaking through a man. He came here as an angel in the physical realm. And he said, I'm just gonna say the Lord rebuke you, but your day coming. Anybody getting that? Now, with all that being said, in the end, what did God do? Why didn't Jesus just fall from heaven as the Messiah and redeem us. He didn't do it that way. The same way that, why didn't Satan just appear right now and take over and have dominion over man? Because the parameters were set in order. And God won't violate his own word. So guess what he did? He said the only legal access into this physical realm is through the womb of a woman. The only way the angels in Genesis 6 was able to get their seed, their giants in the earth, was through a woman. So he wrapped himself. He came just like you and I came. He came through the womb of the Virgin Mary. He said, now that I'm ready to redeem man, I am not going to violate my own word. I am going to come wrapped in flesh just like man. I put in place the womb man in order for her to be the only legal access into the earth. And I'm going to obey the word that I put there. And he came just like you and I. Hallelujah. That's why he's called the last Adam. He came just like the first ones. And once the word was what? Made flesh. The word didn't just come down from heaven full of his glory. Amen. The word was made flesh. Oh, that's when the devil started shaking. He said, I'm going to be made flesh, and I'm going to show those who are made of flesh how to have dominion. And once he was made flesh, he walked this earth up until the age of 30, because God would not disobey or violate his own word. His own word under the law, you could not begin as a priest in leadership until the age of 30. He wrapped himself in flesh, came here legally through the womb of a woman, and at the age of 30, that's when he started his ministry. And what was the purpose of all of that? It was to show us the dominion he gave us in Genesis chapter 1. Do you realize Jesus did nothing that is not read in Genesis 1? Everything he did falls up under what he told Adam. Have authority over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air. Amen. Everything he did was the same authority he gave Adam. That's why he's called the last Adam. He's called the second Adam. And he was the example, because we don't really have any details of Adam operating in authority. All we know is God made them, they ate from the tree, and we didn't see this authority in exercise, in practice. So the second Adam had to come, and once he was wrapped in flesh, he said, yeah, there's no details about how Adam was supposed to walk in authority. So let me show you. Devil, come out. That's what an Adam who's anointed by God can do. Blind eyes open. That's what an Adam who's anointed by God can do. Walking on water, speaking to the atmosphere, speaking to every sickness, disease, and infirmity. That's what an Adam who's anointed by God can do. Amen. What did he say? I'll only do what I see my Father do. He showed us what it was to be the head. He showed us what it was to be the head. He showed us what it was to have dominion. The disciples came back saying, oh, Lord, even the devils are subject to your name. Hallelujah. He said, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Somebody say all. One day the church is going to get a revelation over all the works of the devil. Why? Because this is our home. This is our plane. And we are the ones who have authority. And the only reason we see evil in the world is because somebody listening to the evil one. Now, what's the other side of that? The only way we're going to see good and righteousness and the kingdom in the world, somebody got to display it. Somebody got to yield to the Holy Ghost. Somebody got to say, Lord, send me. Hallelujah. So what am I trying to say? With all this going on in the world, with all of the crime and evil and darkness we see, and we're praying, God send, God help, God deliver. I preach this message today to show you, based on scripture, that you are the change you looking for. You are the change you praying for. You are the change you hoping for. We're the ones wrapped in flesh. If we don't do it, it won't get done. We're the ones who have dominion. Lord, that's shouting ground right there. We're the ones who have dominion. If you don't speak, it won't get done. If you don't step up, it won't get done. The devil can't do anything without using a body. We are the body. We are the body. We are the body. Born of the seed of God. Born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Walking with the armor of God. And you praying for somebody else to do it. Woo! Jesus wrapped himself in flesh, got on the cross, and said, Lord, I'm willing to die. I'm perfect. I'm sinless. I'm willing to become sin. Because I know you're going to get me out the grave, but I'm willing to become sin so that my righteousness can be imputed on them. I'm willing to take their sin so they can take my righteousness so that when I get out the grave, they would be the Adams that you wanted Adam to be in the beginning. They would be the body of Christ. They would bear your image. And they would walk in dominion. Hallelujah. The devil was afraid of one Christ. What you think he's doing now with millions of us that look like him walking the earth? But we can't tell. There's a lot of Christ image bearers in the earth. Are you there? Because we're too busy looking for somebody else to walk in dominion when it's us who's supposed to be doing it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the spirit of grace in this place. And I pray that this word sit on the deep and the core of our hearts today. That we will begin to operate in righteous indignation at the proliferation of darkness and evil that is surrounding us. As if we don't have any power. As if we don't have any authority. As if God didn't design it, then we do it. Father God, I pray that you wake up your church. Wake up your people. Wake up your people. Hallelujah. Your word says that they that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. I speak to the sons of God today. Arise and be accounted for. I speak to the sons of God today. Stop praying for the deliverance and be it. I speak to the sons of God today. The word is nigh thee even to thy mouth, the word of faith. I speak to the sons today. We are the change we've been looking for. In the mighty name of Jesus. And it's about time we start treading on snakes and scorpions. It's about time we start breaking the neck of the enemy. It's about time we start discomforting the company of the enemy. It's about time that we start tormenting the tormentor. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone here who needs healing, deliverance, today is your day. Oh, yeah. Because I didn't come in the enticing words of man's speech, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone here who needs healing and deliverance, need to be set free? Come forth. Hallelujah. Pray, saints. Glory be to God. What's your name, sir? Yes.
Lift your hands to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God for this brother. Say, Lord Jesus, pray, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me by your blood. I believe God sent you to die for my sins. I believe you were the perfect sacrifice. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you got out of the grave for me. I give my life to you from this day forward. In the name of Jesus. Look at me. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of violence, anger, fear, look at me. Every spirit of violence, anger, every devil that has tormented you. I want you to say this. Say, Satan, I renounce you. You can't live here. I am God's. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I am now a son of God. You must go. In Jesus' name, devil, I said, loose him. Devil, I said, loose him and come out of him. No more. Your day is over. I said, your day is over. I said, your day is over. Come out of him right now. I said, loose him right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said, come out. Every last one of you, I said, come out. In the mighty name of Jesus. Look at me, brother. I said, come out. Every last one of you, I said, come out. I said, this is God's property now. You have no more authority. Look at me. I said, this is God's property. You have no more authority. I said, loose my brother. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we give you glory right now. For this purpose was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. This is God's property. I say, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. How long has it been? A while? All right. You good now? So, are you connected to a church? This one? All right. You haven't been coming? All right, so you're going to do what you need to do to stay connected? Amen. We love you, man. God is good. Glory be to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Anyone else? The presence of the Lord is here. Father God, we thank you right now. We speak your healing over Daddy right now, in Jesus' name. We speak your healing over Daddy right now, in Jesus' name. We command cancer to leave now. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I say that there will be no trace. I speak to every cell in his body, and I say be made whole. I command every cell of cancer to go now. Every cell of cancer to go now in the mighty name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I say in the mighty name of Jesus, but by his stripes, we are healed. Father God, we thank you for a clean bill of health. We thank you, Father God, and you're going to confound the minds of the doctors. We thank you for a clean bill of health. In Jesus' name. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say it is so. Somebody say it is so. In Jesus' name.
We thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
There's someone here that you have a respiratory problem breathing, with asthma or something with your breathing. Come forward.
Praise be unto God. Keep praying, saints. Dear Lord, we give you glory right now. We give you glory right now. Yes. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We say it is so. We say you're breathing. In Jesus' name. Yes. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. We lift up, we touch and agree with our sister. We lift up her daughters, Francia and Leanne, in the name of Jesus. We send the word of the Lord to them right now. We command cancer to dry up at its very cell. We say it cannot live. We break it now in Jesus' name. We speak the healing power right where they are. And we say, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak the healing of our Lord and Savior right now. We say cancer, dry up. We say cancer, dry up in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask right now that your Holy Spirit touch them right where the cancer is right now. We thank you, Father God, that they feel the fire of your Holy Ghost right where they are right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak your divine healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Somebody say in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We expect to get a good report, sis. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. We touch and agree for her brother Alfredo.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. We lift up her brother Alfredo, who's in a coma right now. We send the word of the Lord now and say in the mighty name of Jesus that you touch his body, that you bring him back to us. We say in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever the complications were, that the fire of your Holy Spirit touch him now. We speak your healing. We speak your healing. We speak your healing. Visit him now. We touch and agree with her. Visit him now, Father God. Let him come out praising God. Let him awaken praising God. Let him come forth praising God, giving you glory, saying that Jesus is real. He is a healer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's keep praising him.
Okay, I know it might be embarrassing to come up, so we're just gonna pray for you from your seat. So if everyone can just raise their hands. Father God, I just pray, even as you healed the woman with the issue of blood, God, that you'll heal this woman's body, that everything will be normal. I pray, God, that the female organs will be in the correct position, in the correct place. I pray, God, blood flow will be normal. I pray, God, that you heal her, God.